titling this message, Perspectives on Speaking in the Name of the Lord. Now, I used to feel quite proud that Community Chapel was free from the confusion of the charismatic world and speaking for the Lord. But I am embarrassed to have to say that that's no longer true. Now, I do not mean that there is mass confusion, that the church has gone over the hill. But I do mean to say that, you see, at one time, I have seen so much of Christians speaking in the name of the Lord when the Lord was not talking. Talking out of the heart and out of the mind and out of the imagination and out of the spirit. And I gave loads of data and criteria, and people were very careful. And we did have gifts of the Spirit, too. But there came a time when God was moving in such a way that I felt that I could not put restraints that would keep the Lord from being able to talk when He wanted to. In the various groups, we were encouraging cottage prayer meetings everywhere and deliverance meetings everywhere. And God was revealing things, demon spirits, and we had to allow God this opportunity. And I had taught you. So I opened up the door. I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was going to get. And I've gotten what I thought I was going to get. But we also got the good from it. And I have been trying to be faithful to my calling to protect this body a number of times by getting up and, like I'm doing tonight, and going through criteria, trying to explain to you what's happening inside, how to think, cautioning. I have tried to do that. You don't know how it feels, perhaps. Well, I know you don't. Leave the perhaps off. You don't really know how it feels to be a pastor in the position that I'm in. I also know that it's not easy to be in the position that some of you are in and endeavoring to work for God in this way and feeding God's Spirit and having all kinds of things come to you and feeding things and having the pastor constantly say, you know, do it right. And you say, you know, what else do I do? I mean, I'd fly if I just knew how, you know. I understand that. And I'm not blaming anybody. Now, one reason that some have so much confusion is that they're trying to sort out how to know which messages are from the Lord and which ones are from themselves from a huge collection for a minimum from the Lord. Now that's the truth. That is the truth. And if you bring it to people and say, well, none are from the Lord, there is total frustration, total confusion, and total hopelessness. Because then the person says, well, then I don't know anything. Then I never had anything. But I felt things. I mean, and each person you bring this to, and I'm talking only about those who have been having a lot of things happening, they could talk for 9 hours about all the things and the blessing and how things were on, and they didn't know this, and how would they know it otherwise, and this thing just came to them, and this, they could do all kinds of talking, which in their minds prove that it was from the Lord. But I want to say that in many cases, none of it was from the Lord. But I think there is a very large misunderstanding that I'm going to try to address tonight. And I've brought you pieces of this before, but I'm going to bring this in a fuller way and in another way that I think hopefully might get through to some of you. Now, I am not suggesting that everything that everybody's had has not been from the Lord. That is not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say there are some groups, some people that have ministered and have said that God told me this and God showed me this and prophesied and various things, that none of what they brought has been directly from the Lord. I use the word directly. But it does not mean that the Lord wasn't in any of it. It does not mean you weren't in touch with God. It doesn't mean that God wasn't moving on your spirit. you need to understand what really happened to you. And if you know what happened to you, I think you will not be so confused. And you know better how to operate. And that's what I want to deal with a little later on. Now, my counsel has not fully been followed by some. It has not really been learned by them. Little effort has been spent in studying what I have brought. Instead of taking all my tapes out and listening to every one and taking careful notes and going through them and applying them and making sure you understand them and questioning and so forth until you know them. And then when these things happen, to check them by the list, check the statements that are questionable, talk it over with others. Instead of really learning this thing, there has been mainly just giving it forth and not doing anything about it, not questioning what's being brought. And those who've had confusion, they've mainly just talked about the confusion and they've wanted to be careful. But there hasn't been a real getting a hold of and learning what has been brought. I don't suppose there's too many that can say, I have the list of all the different tapes you've taught on this subject. I've gone through all of it. I've got notes on all of it. I go over it and I judge it and I've studied it. And I, when we have anything happening, I go back and I check things by it. Not many are really doing that. Now, some would have us believe, and I don't mean by way of deceit. I mean their hearts are right. That God talks all the time to every group that meets to pray, every time to every person. That's what they think is happening. They really think that's happening because they feel the Lord. I'm going to explain this more. They feel there are certain people that no matter who they pray for, they will always have messages. They will always have revelations. They'll take them as fast as they bring them in. They've always got it. They operate that way all the time. Now, there's no reason for God to do this. You see, God has given us His Word. And His Word tells us how to live holy. And God really doesn't want us to come to a place where we will not listen to the Word, but we will listen to Susie who hears from God. The same thing that's in the Word. See, He really doesn't want to build that kind of a mentality in His people. And so people get to a place that if they hear, thus saith the Lord so-and-so, oh yes, Lord, I'll do it. I mean, right now. But if the Word says it, they won't. God does not want to transfer the authority from the Word to some person. God does not want you to read the Word and not be able to find comfort. But if Susie says, thus saith the Lord, you've got comfort. God does not want to transfer this thing from the Bible to the one I'll call Susie, who hears from God. We have a more sure word in the Holy Word of God. Now, we need to rely on God's Word, not ignore His Word and follow messages. Messages from God should be supplemental, not replacements. Now, there's a trap. And I guess I've already mentioned that, so I'll go on to the next point. Now, one reason for carelessness in giving messages and judging messages in some is that subconsciously, you know, you don't really, are not conscious of yourself really feeling this way and saying this, but subconsciously, there is a desire to hear from God. And there's added power when God says it. And people want to hear from God. And they want to be a vehicle for God and a mouthpiece for God. They want something to get done down here. When they were playing, they wanted to get done. And they feel kind of, Lord, what am I going to do? They feel helpless. They know they need God. And if God can just say to them, if somehow God can talk to them, then maybe they'll do something. Then maybe they'll be comforted. Then maybe they'll accept. Then maybe. It's just like we can get God down, and there's a propensity, that isn't quite exactly what I want, but there's something inside that just wants somehow to pull God's voice down and stick it into the ill. And so it makes you vulnerable to that. Now, that alone would not cause you to do it. Something else is happening from heaven that caused you to do it. But you're just misunderstanding what's happening from heaven. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. And I think maybe this might clear up something for you tonight. Now, there are reasons for the confusion that exists in some minds as to how do I know what's God and what isn't and what's my own spirit and mind. Here are some of the reasons. Number one, and I'm mainly going to talk about number six, but number one is the security of having God say it. Number two is the security of having God back up one's prayer and back up one's office. Three is the security of having God responsible and not us for the message or for the revelation. There's a certain security in putting it all on God instead of us taking the responsibility. And so that makes people want to say, thus saith the Lord, and otherwise you can get contested. Well, I think maybe you're wrong, sister. Well, I don't really quite equate with that. But if thus saith the Lord, who can say I don't think you're right, Lord, see? And so it kind of takes it off of you and transfers to a higher power and gives you more power because God says. And so there is a subconscious, propensity to do that. Number four, there's an excitement of believing that we are hearing from heaven. You know, there is a natural, you know, there's a spiritual excitement if you can hear from heaven. Anybody can hear from inside your own head. And number five, there's a lack of experience, oftentimes, of hearing from God in real messages individually, and so they're not really acquainted enough because they've always been worked in this particular realm that I'm going to be talking about, and they haven't had a lot of experiences from God speaking directly to them, and so they don't know what to equate with. And number six, and this is what I want to talk about, are wrong concepts. I think there are more people with the wrong concept and there are with the right concept. Now, not many people do not recognize that our spirit is receiving, number one, angelic input. Lots of it. Lots of it. God is having his angels go on his behalf, just like he's having his saints go on his behalf. God is not working near as much directly as most Christians think. Not near as much. The average Christian thinks God is pulling strings all the time and working directly all the time. The truth of the matter is, he's given the world to men to have dominion over it and to preach the gospel and to exercise the gifts and authority to make decisions, to operate his church. And he has given angels charge to help them in that work. And God is not, well, we pray to God for help from him and he sends us an angel. That's the truth. And we're going to get more input directly from God, but as God said in the Old Testament concerning Moses, that with Moses I speak face to face, but with the rest of the prophets, I don't. He speaks more darkly to them. And God is not speaking near as much directly as you think. It's angels that are bearing his messages. Now, what do these angels do? These angels bring, example one, faith to believe. And here you are in a situation, and you need something, and you're praying sincerely to God, and you need faith. And the Lord dispatches an angel of faith to you, because there's already black angels of doubt, unbelief, fear, and a host of other things. And so he dispatches angels to help you, to help war against them and come to your mind, and you'll have a choice, of course, of doubt or faith. And you'll have faith to believe. It comes from heaven, from an angel. And because you've got faith to believe, all of a sudden this thing wells inside, and instead of knowing what's happening to you and beginning to exercise faith on the authority of the Word of God, the person will prophesy. He feels supernatural faith charge in him. Thus saith the Lord, my daughter, fear not, but for I will heal thee. Yea, I will do it. And he just rattles on and on and on, saying what the Lord's going to do. Why? He's full of faith from an angel. and he didn't know what to do with this new feeling. And it's for the person, and he knows it's for the person, so he figures it must be a message. The only problem that he has is he doesn't have the words, but he's got the feeling. He's got the input, all he needs, instead of then basing it on the Word of God and his own knowledge and concepts. But he's got a super fast mind with a fantastic library logged with billions of words and phrases, and you've heard for years. And it's very easy to pull these out and just start jamming them together. You know how easy it is when you have a conversation with your friend and you don't even think ahead of time what you're going to say? They just knock the door, come in, and you immediately start talking for an hour. You haven't even figured it out. You do not stop and say, "No, I'm going to say this." You just keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. That's how fast the mind is. And so this mind, feeding full of faith, supercharges, you know, it excites the library of your mind and starts pulling out all these things and starts throwing faith at them. But because you feel this presence, you say, "Thus saith the Lord." And then you start in. See? And the problem is, because you're going through the library of your mind and bringing everything that you know, you don't say it flawlessly and perfectly, and you say some things wrong sometimes, and it doesn't always apply, and therefore, much of it is good, and we look at people can look at it and say, "I can't see anything wrong with this, can't see anything wrong with that." Well, that means you're doing a pretty good job. But every so often, you bungle. Something's wrong with it. It's full of little things. If you look at it very carefully, it just won't fly as from the Lord. But it'll fly well from you. See? And an angel will give you love for the one you prayed for. And you feel this love over him. You know it's not you. All of a sudden you know it's God's love that he brought you. So you give him a message about love. "Thus saith the Lord, I love you." And you start pouring out the love you feel. He didn't give any words. All you feel is an input of love. And most of you have to admit, if you look very carefully, there's problems with the words. Not with all of them, but in there. If you look at them carefully. If you run it by on tape and check it carefully. Furthermore, another case is, he will come and bring you revelation of God's faithfulness. He will implant God's that understanding. And you start off and give a message concerning from God of God's faithfulness. You'll either explain to them what God told you, and he didn't tell you anything. Or you will prophesy what he told you, and he didn't tell you anything. In other words, he is not bringing words to you coming out like this, rushing out. But you have the feeling, the concept, the light, the emotions, and so you pull out your own words, coming out of your own mind and your own spirit. And it's good, and it edifies, and it blesses. It heals, it encourages. It's just wrong. I mean, it's just not from God. But the problem is, the little wrong place is in it, and we'll talk more about that later. Now, none of these are angelic words. They're rather receptions in our spirits. But our soulical mind has a vague knowledge, and we have a feeling that accompanies what God is doing in the spirit, our spirit. It's like demonic inputs of jealousy. When you have an input of jealousy, you have a strong feeling. You don't get direct words. You make up the words, but you get the feeling. You know what it's about, too. And you can talk plenty on it. And when demons give you inputs of fear, or hate, or seduction, or loneliness, you get a very powerful feeling. And you know what the feeling is. And you know enough about the situation that you can bring out of the storehouse of your mind and talk on it. But the demon didn't give you exact words to say. And you don't say, and when demons have, they give you just input to you. And you don't say, "Thus saith the demon." You just start blabbing it out yourself. But if you do that also and angels come to you, instead of saying, thus saith the Lord, but just start giving it out, you'd be all right. Because then you're responsible for the words. And then if everything isn't quite right, nobody worries about it. Because you're not perfect. Nobody takes it ex cathedra, so to speak. Now, you're not getting words, you're rather getting feelings with a vague knowledge. Now, by vague knowledge, I don't mean uncertain as to what the feeling is, rather uncertain as to specifics or words. You're getting an input in your spirit that is not registered by the soulical mind as anything understandable. So as the scripture says, the mind is unfruitful. When God sends his own spirit or an angel and it ministers to your spirit, then the spirit of your mind understands it, but the soulical mind only has some vague understandings of it. There's enough happened in the spirit, there's enough happened and been taught and lodged in the soulical mind, that the soulical mind, picking up the energy, although it does not understand, and is not fruitful in the mind, has no certain words, understands the tenor. It can say, this is a love song. It knows that much. I don't know the words, but it's a love song. It's a rebuke. I don't know the words, but I know it's an encouragement. I don't know really what he's saying to me as I speak in tongues, but it's an encouragement. Or as he brings this or something. So you know the basic thing, but the mind is unfruitful as to any detail. Now, feelings follow from this input into our spirits. And this input into our spirit is very clear in our spirit. Now, you have to understand that. It is clear in your spirit. Your spirit knows what to do with it. It readily accepts it. It's working with it. It's working fine. But as Paul says, as he prays in the spirit or sings in the spirit, the mind is unfruitful. But the spirit is not. And it's edified. And you can go out. Many of you have had the experience. I suppose all of you have. You feel a burdened. And you go into a room and you pray in tongues the entire time. Don't know one thing you said. The mind is totally unfruitful, and you go out feeling wonderful, happy, edified, blessed, and everything's okay. Right? The Spirit knew what to do with it. The Spirit was receiving it. The Spirit understood it, but the soulical mind didn't. But the soulical mind was not in the confusion because it knew basically the theme. It knew what was involved. So it didn't have a real problem. But it could not specifically give it out as, thus saith the Lord. But it can talk about it. Now, from this, our minds reason. So we get these feelings, and having the feeling, our mind begins to reason. And if we take this to be a message from God, we will speak words commensurate with our feelings. And we will say, in the name of the Lord. Now, our soulical minds can interpret the feelings close enough to be in the ballpark. But the mind of the soul cannot translate the mind of the spirit. Hence, the message that's supposed to be from God is off. You see? Because we're trying to bring the specifics. We've got the feeling, and so we're loading out all kinds of things from our memory bank, but it's coming from the soulical mind. Now, the input was from God. From either an angel or from God. It came to our spirits. It's doing a work in the spirit. The spirit knew what to do. The mind of the spirit had no problem. The soulical mind, however, was getting energy, getting the vibes, but it could not articulate or understand. It could not understand the specifics, nor articulate them. The soul is getting a feeling also. And so our mind reasons because of the feeling we're getting and we're understanding the nature of it. So we draw out of our storehouse things in line with that feeling because then the energy goes to our memory banks and starts triggering all those things commensurate with that feeling. And we give it out to the person in the name of the Lord. And it did come from the Lord into our spirit, but not as words. It came ministering to the spirit. But it didn't come into our minds. When God gives a message to his people, he speaks directly to the mind of the spirit and the mind of the soul. It comes directly to both the spirit and your mind. And you find the words coming into your mind, and you know the words, and you're saying the words as they come in, and you hear, and you feel in your spirit. See, it isn't just that your mind is just getting things, and so you start talking. Your spirit is supercharged. It's energized. Right parallel with your solical mind. And your mind is getting exact words. And so you know exactly what to say, so it'll be perfect. And forbearing any, if there isn't any, pulling out, or jamming in rationale, or stumbling, anything like this, then it'll come out perfectly. And so, you will hear, "Thus saith the Lord God Almighty." And you'll say, "Thus saith the Lord God Almighty." And you'll feel this powerful. And you'll feel it in your spirit coming from God. See, the spirit knows all about where it's coming from and what it is. And it's feeling it. It's feeling it powerfully. And then the next set of words will come. And you're speaking out. And you feel like, I'm just standing here in awe as another force is coming through me, speaking out of me, just profound words that are not in me, did not arise out of my convictions, did not arise because I have been ministered to and feel anointed and excited from the ministries of others. It is something that has rushed in, it's rushing out, my spirit understands it, I feel totally, I understand where it's coming from because my spirit is being worked on, ministered at the same time as my mind. Now see, that's a different than being in a group, you're getting prayed for and ministered, and the Spirit of the Lord's coming, and you're being ministered in your spirit until such a place that you feel the minister in your spirit, but nothing is coming to the solical mind. But your spirit is so full that you start giving out of the solical mind and calling it from the Lord instead of the solical mind. And that is happening universally. I would guess, probably conservatively, that 95%, at least, I mean conservatively, 95% at least, of all the messages in America given in the name of the Lord fall in that category. I mean, that's how much it happens. Now, it isn't a pure, dry, out-of-the-mind, imaginations. See, that isn't what's happening. And that's why it's so hard to tell people, because they say, well, that can't be because I know, because I felt, because, and they get all these reasons. And they're right in everything except the conclusion. See, they know something's happening. I really feel God gave me this understanding to give to you. Now, often the ministering spirit is God's Holy Spirit, but the situation is the same. He ministers to your spirit, but unless he ministers to your mind parallel with it, you do not have a message from God. You have an exhortation, you have encouragement. There's a lot you can do. And see, God does not want to speak directly near as much as we want him to. We're missing something to think he wants us to go around as know-nothings until he dumps on us, and then we are robots speaking like puppets. That is not what he wants to do. He wants us to imbibe the word and being living epistles, be energized from heaven, and then give out of the storehouse he's put in us as we are energized in our own words to help one another, because he has called us to be the conveyors and the purveyors of his message. And he does not wish that we all be nothing but hollow shells that speak as he speaks. That's not his will. That is the Christian's will. But the will of God is not the same as the will of people. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Man wants God to speak, so he's not responsible. God wants us to be responsible, us to carry the message, us to have it, us to bring it forth, us to be full of it. He wants us to do a lot more than we're doing.
We want to stay out of it and let Him do it. He wants us to be thoroughly involved and responsible in doing it. That's what He really wants. See, only then can we really become. He really wants us to become. He wants us to be full of the Lord, understanding principles, able to give forth, knowing God's will in mind, being full of the Holy Spirit all the time. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I hope you won't misunderstand it. I do this all the time. All the time. God is energizing me, and I am giving it out to you, but not saying, thus saith the Lord. All the time I'm doing what I've been preaching to you. I do it all the time. But when it happens to so many people, they'll say to do it, so they say, thus saith the Lord, behind it. And therefore, we have got to get His voice or we can't move. Once you get rid of that false concept and understand that as He inputs us, we can minister one to another and God will heal and angels will fly, then you can be satisfied without doing that. Do you understand? How many understand that? Okay, I won't be much longer. I'm almost done. This is a new subject, very short, for your edification. Sincere, earnest, intense, unified prayer accomplishes things in the spirit realm. Whether we feel anything or not. Now, this is very difficult for us because we pray and we feel dry. People lay hands on you and you pray and pray and pray and you feel dry, and it's so easy to go home and say, didn't get anywhere tonight. I have done it myself more than a few times. And you have too. Jerry has. His head, Larry Walker, those two have, I know, because their heads went up and down like this. And you have too. Didn't get any place tonight. Oh, just dry as a bone. You know you cannot measure what's happening in heaven by how dry you are? You see, when you pray, you are praying to a real being. And when you pray, angels in heaven are set free to begin to battle against that thick curtain of demonic activity that's in the heavenlies. And you may have to battle for several weeks or months to get through. And they are knocking out. You may go home one day discouraged after 5 hours of intense prayer with you and a bunch of people praying, and you felt nothing. Maybe you felt plenty, but you felt nothing. And you've knocked off, 200,000 demons out of the heavens. You go home and say, nothing happened today. Names in heaven, that's what you think. But you haven't felt anything yet because we haven't got through to you yet because we've got about 1 million more to go. Just keep praying. And if you keep praying and you keep praying and you keep praying, finally the power is broken and the angels of the Lord or His Spirit comes through, and then you get it and say, something happened. And you think it happened just today. You say, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden He came down and it's been building. You've been praying. You've been deciding. You've been holding out the devil. Or, see, something's been happening. The golden vial is full of the prayers of the saints, the scripture says. And there comes a day that the accomplishment is there, like Daniel prayed for 21 days. He didn't feel good either. Nothing great was happening to him. He felt nothing. But all of a sudden, I think power is broken. So when you're praying, you're accomplishing something regardless of what you feel. The more you stand, the more you declare, the more you continue, something's happening. Providing it's not faithless, oh, woe is me, boo-hoo-hoo prayers. As long as you're taking faith, you're claiming the name of the Lord, as long as you're doing that, your prayers are moving for God. Doing something. Now, see, many are discouraged because they're looking for feeling of God's voice instead of praying with knowledge of what earnest prayer accomplishes. Now, most Christians have too little faith of what earnest prayer does. And they've got too much faith of what lazy prayer does. That's the truth. Earnest prayer does way more than I think any of us understand. The devils understand. They get scared, the demons. Earnest prayer really shakes up the spirit world. Lazy prayer doesn't do half as much as you think it does. That's the truth. Last page. New policy. In prayer, and deliverance meetings and fellowships, etc. Please pray, speak, sing in the third person, accepting in rare and more unusual circumstance where you know what you're doing and the power of God comes upon you in your soulical mind as well as your spirit, and you know you've got something directly from God and it's powerful, and you're speaking as it's coming out of you, and then when you do, and bring it out, critique it carefully, give me a tape if you've got it to listen to, let me help you, and critique it carefully, judge it afterwards, talk over with the others, don't be quick to try to find any little thing that's halfway close and call it, you know, word for word. Don't do that, but check it out and see if it's word from God or not. Now, so I want you, example, when you feel a truth or a concern or a love and faith for someone, don't start off by faith and sing whatever comes to your mind and trust it to be God, because it isn't. Even though you got inputted from God, the words are not God directly. Don't sing, "I have seen your trials and I have made an end to them. Trust me," if that's what you feel. Sing, "God has seen your trials. Surely he will make an end to them. Trust him." See? When you get input and you feel faith for this person and you feel like you want to just pour this into him, pour it in the third person. Sing, speak, pray, "Yea, the Lord will do this. He will surely come upon you. The Lord will bless you mightily. It is the Lord who will..." Go ahead, pour it out. Say "he." Don't say "I." Because you're not God. Not unless it's God coming down saying "I." If it's not God saying "I," don't say "I." Say "he." Make a difference between you and God. Slow way down on your visions, revelations. Make sure your visions are visions, not visualizations. And make sure your revelations are God's. And if it's not absolutely clear-cut, definite, definite from the Lord, see, there's too many people, "God showed me this, and God told me this, and God, like this." Let's take the responsibility ourselves. Let's say, you know, as I was ministering, I begin to feel this way in my spirit. And then recognize what's happening to you. And I begin to feel this way. And I think, I feel, I believe. Because now you have to extrapolate from what's happened to your spirit to the person through your mind. And so you need now to qualify and say, you're feeling these things and you know the area. But you don't know the unless you know the exact things from God. And those things do happen. It's happened to me and it's happened. Unless you're at that place, then say, "I feel what the Lord is trying to get through to us is." Then go ahead and give it out. Because you could be wrong and, well, that's all you said is, "I feel." What I think is, I think God's trying to say, I just feel in my spirit this and this. Now you're on safe grounds. But as soon as you say, "The Lord told me, the Lord showed me," as soon as you say that, nobody can critique it. It's hallowed ground. You can't be wrong in anything. See, let's be careful of our words. A little bit of thinking about that will get you so you can understand how to handle it. Do think enough till you know what it means. Last point. Somebody asked, they said, well, how did... There's 2 points. Tell them how to try the spirits. Very briefly. By trying the spirits, he does not mean, well, this feels a little different than that feels when it came in. I feel this, and when I kind of think, well, this is kind of stronger than that. This is kind of more this way. It was, you cannot try the spirits that way. They all come in the same, and they all feel the same, and you do not know enough about yourself to really try them that way. That is not how you try them. You try them by the principles I've given you. Would God say that? Is it contrary to God's word? Does that make God too cutesy? Does that do this? Is this the right place? Would God come in at a wedding and tell everybody's sins and his problems and all the big holes and the trials you're going to go through? See, God won't do that. Right. I wouldn't. And he's more benevolent than I am. God will not stand at your wedding and tell you, to all your unsaved relatives, your sins and your problems, and behold, I know that thou hast gone through great trials all thy life, and the devil is upon thee, but fear not, you'll have deeper trials, but I will be with thee. You know? Yea, the sky shall fall upon thee, but be not dismayed. You know? See, what you're doing is,
You feel in your spirit and you know this guy and you know his problems and you know he's in trouble, but you know God will see him through, and so your mind is extrapolating. God wouldn't do that to a person. This is his wedding. Not his last month on earth. My last point. Subjective revelations are dangerous. Once you decide something is God, you have no safety left to get counsel or to learn or to turn from it. One woman said this, and my information is, and I hope she will not be hurt by this, because I'm not telling her name for teaching. I've had no dates. I'm going to tell you something right here in the middle, bracket here, pastor speaking. I love my daughters in the faith so much, and I feel your need so much. If you knew what I have suffered for you who are not getting dates, I used to get up and try to razor strap the men into it and challenge them into it, provoke them into it, all this. I finally shut up and sat down because I wasn't getting anywhere. And I realized maybe we're going to have to get deliverance to get into it, teaching or something. And, of course, a lot of men are doing. We got more ladies than men is one problem, too. But this person said, I've had no dates. Now the Lord has shown me that outside this body there are wonderful men. Now, you see, that person did not try the Spirit. God would not say this. That is not how God would talk. I promise you, he's not saying outside where people believe different things or many wonderful things, it's dangerous. Yes. Now, the devil would say that. Yes. That sounds like him. Yes. That sounds like him. Yes. Go get hitched with somebody who feels completely different about this so that you can fight over these doctrines. And then he'll want to go to his church, and he doesn't like your church. And you go to his church, and you won't like it, so you want to go to this church. And so now you're going to a different church, but we get one kid, you can't cut him in two and make half of each church. And then when we want them, you know, when we want them baptized in one way, when we want them baptized another way, and when we want to take them to the doctor, and when we want to pray for them, and when this and when that, and you're ripe for divorce and hurts. See, that isn't what God is saying. And but see, what happens is people feel. This is part of the danger of feeling something and saying God has shown me. God didn't show you that. You finally came to that conclusion because of your hurt, and maybe a spirit did come in and say that to you. But you have to ask, would God do that? That does not follow the principles. God always follows his own principles. He's not saying outside of many wonderful people, go out there. That's dangerous. It really is. It really is. You can get hurt.